Blog Talk Radio.
God bless, God bless, God bless all of you tonight. We would just like to welcome you here to Praise Tabernacle Church's Tuesday night Bible study. And I tell you what, we've been having ourselves a good time at our local church. We've been having ourselves a good time, D&K Bible Break, Monday nights. We've been having a good time, and these Tuesday night Bible studies that we've picked back up to go live, I have been enjoying them tremendously, and I just thank God for another opportunity for us to be here tonight. Thank you for listening. We want to thank God for our panel, all our the new panel members. They've been doing such an excellent job, and I'm just grateful that God has blessed me and my lovely wife with a team of leaders that's digging in the Word and that's supporting of the ministry. So we just thank all of you for being here on tonight. Listen, we got something different tonight, and this is something that God had laid on my heart a few months ago when I knew that we was going to be making some changes and giving some others opportunities to be on the panel and have this platform. And tonight we are going to have not necessarily a debate, not a debate. Now, we may get into some of that, and that's okay. We may get into some of that, but each fourth Tuesday I'm going to host the Bible study. And we want to talk about family. We want to talk about relationships, you know, husband and wife relationship, children, you know, along with the family. And then tonight we even got some mistresses going on with what we're going to talk about tonight. And we're just going to get a lot of different point of view. We got three main characters that we want to deal with tonight, and that's Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar. And if we just want to do it the right way, we'll start with Abram, Sarai, and then Hagar. So we know later on God changed Abram to Abraham and Sarai to Sarah. So we got our panel. We got some women on here. We got the men on here. And we're going to just kind of have a little fun with it tonight, but, you know, bring it home. We want to bring it home. We know the scripture. We're supposed to be able to apply that. You know, anytime you're teaching, the object of teaching is for someone to learn. And in most cases, if you bring it down home to a person where they can understand it, then they can learn it, and thereby they can apply it. So we're going to say a quick word of prayer, and then we're going to jump into the scriptures, and we want you to buckle up tonight, because from what I'm hearing, the brothers and sisters are ready. They're excited about tonight, so we're going to see how far we go. I can tell you now, we're probably not going to get through with it. There's so much in here. We're probably not going to get through with it. We may have to pick it up next fourth Tuesday in October, but we'll see. We'll see. So, Father, in Jesus' name, as we come now, we just thank you. We're so excited about this opportunity to have this discussion tonight about Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar, which will extend into Ishmael and Isaac. And God, we just thank you. We appreciate you. We pray that we're able to say something tonight that will reach the hearts and minds of the listeners, something that they can identify with, those that are married, those that are single, those that are maybe even engaged, and even the children, God. So something that we can see on tonight that will encourage the total family. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Tonight, let's see. We're going to key in in the beginning at Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. I gave the panel I think I gave them chapters 15, 16, 17, 18, and chapter 21 to review. So we may get through those. It's not going to be each scripture line upon line for each chapter. We're going to jump around a little bit to see how far we can get tonight within the hour. And then if we have to pick up, like I said, in October, we will. So we want to call your attention to Genesis, the 15th chapter, and we want to look at, we want to start at verse 1 through 6. Okay, so while you're getting there, I want to highlight a few points that's going to lead up to Genesis chapter 15. Okay, so while you're going to Genesis 15, I just want to give you a couple of points. We want to deal with Abraham, just where did Abraham come from, you know, what was his background, you know, different things like that. So in Genesis, we are introduced to Abraham in Genesis 11. We're introduced to Abraham in Genesis 11. I believe also in Genesis 11 that between 10 and 11, the people had came together under one voice and Tower of Babel, God had to come down and, you know, change the languages so that they couldn't be unified. And then it goes into the history of this one begot this one, that one begot that one. And then we get down to, I believe it's around Genesis 11 and 26. It introduces us to Terah, which is Abraham's father. Okay, this is Genesis 11. And then Abraham has two brothers, Nahor and Haran. Nahor and Haran. Okay, and then Abram's brother Haran is his nephew Lot's father. Y'all know we'll talk about Lot maybe, you know, just a little bit. We may mention Lot throughout, maybe here and there. And then in Genesis 11, also Abraham marries Abram marries Sarai. Okay, Abram marries Sarai. That's in Genesis 11 and 29. Then Genesis 11 and 30, we see Sarai is barren, meaning she can't have any children. Later on in chapter 11, they were natives of Ur of the Chaldees, and they left there to go on their way to Canaan, but they stopped in Haran for a while. Okay, but we know that Canaan is the promised land that God promised to Abraham. Okay, well, to Abram. So then in Genesis 12, God tells Abram to leave Haran and his family. So leave the city that the town, the city that you're in, and leave your kinfolk. Leave your extended family. Okay. So Abram, of course, he's obedient. He takes Sarai and his nephew Lot. Okay. He takes Sarai and Lot with him. And then they arrive in Canaan. This is in Genesis 12. Also, the Lord promises Abram to give his seed this land. What land? The land of Canaan. So all this, God is, even before things begin to happen, there's a word, there are promises that are given to Abraham, years or whatever prior to them beginning to manifest. So that's chapter 12. Abram lies to the Egyptians about Sarah being his sister because of her beauty. And Abraham felt, you know, hey, Sarah was a bad woman, and he felt, well, hey, down here in Egypt, if they see you and they find out me and you husband and wife, they're going to kill me. Okay, and he did the same thing later on with Abimelech, I believe it was in chapter 20. So he pretty much tells a lie, and then we'll find out it really wasn't a lie. It was kind of a, as folks would say, a half-truth. Now, there was some truth to Sarah being Abraham's sister. They were actually, Abraham says, well, she is my sister on my daddy's side. So actually, she was his stepsister. They had the same daddy, Terah, but they did not have the same mother. Okay. So then in chapter 13, and I'm moving right on to chapter 15. Chapter 13, Abram's family, they leave Egypt. Abram and Lot has to separate. Because of, you know, the discord going on between the herdsmen and the shepherds and all this stuff. And then God makes a promise to give Abram and his seed all the land that he can see. That's Genesis 13, 15, and 16. God makes a promise to Abraham. Now, you got to understand, this is a promise. God is promising Abraham that he's going to do this, but Abraham has no children. Okay, he has no seed. So this is a promise that's given, years or so prior to it begin to manifest. So sometimes God tells us things and shares with us, or we get a word of prophecy, we get a promise from God, and at that moment we can't see how in the world is that going to happen. How am I going to have seed and my children are going to take this land, and I don't even have any children? Lord, I mean, it's baffling, you know, it's baffling. So could you imagine how Abram felt that this time, where he's getting a promise from God, and the promise, how is it going to manifest? He can't see it. He has no children. You know, he has no children. So I just want to give a little background, bring us up with Abram and Sarah up to this point. Now let's go, and I'm going to open it up. Let's go to chapter 15, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. So we're in Genesis 15, 1 through 6. Okay, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram, his name is still Abram, in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me? Okay, remember, Abram didn't have no children. Okay, he said, Lord, what would you give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Okay, and Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Okay, you've given me no children, and the one born in my house, you know, is this going to be my heir? You know, he's not even my biological. Is this the way it's supposed to be? I remember what you said, Lord, but I don't know how this thing is going to manifest. How's it going to come to pass? All right, verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Meaning, you're going to have a son. You're going to have a child, Abram. Okay? And he brought him forth, verse 5, abroad, and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thou seed be. In other words, Abraham, look up. If you can number the stars, then you'll be able to number the amount of your seed, the children and the offspring, the grandchildren, great-grand, and so on and so on. Okay? And then verse 6, and then I'm going to open up. And he believed in the Lord. Watch that. And he believed in the Lord. Even though he didn't see it, but he believed in what the Lord had said to him. He believed in the promise, okay, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness, okay? He didn't see it. He didn't even really understand it, but he believed it because of what the Lord said. All right, now let me take a quick little moment. Anybody on the panel, because we're going to get into the nitty-gritty in a few minutes, but anybody on the panel got anything they want to say so far? Okay, nobody? Can y'all hear me?
No, we hear you.
Okay, all right. Let me keep working then. Okay, all right, here we go. All right, let's look at chapter. We're going to get to it. We get, I'm just setting it up. We're getting to where we're going. All right, so Genesis chapter 15, look at verse 13. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Once again, this is confirmation. God is telling him again, all right, Abram, hey, your seed, I'm telling you, boy, I'm going to do exactly what I said. All right? Genesis 15:18. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed. All right, here we go again. Unto thy seed, God is drilling this thing home to Abram. Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. All right, so we can all agree that God has made a covenant. He's made a promise. Let's just use promise right now, because he does make a covenant later on. But this is a promise that your seed is going to inherit this land. Okay, he who has no seed gets a promise that you're going to have seed, and there's going to be so many, you won't be able to count them, you won't be able to number them, and they're going to inherit this land. So this is what's in Abram's mind. Okay, we're not sure yet if he has shared this with Sarah. Okay, well, with Sarah, we're not sure. We're not sure. We can use a little subjective and say, well, surely he told his wife that, you know, the Lord promised him, but we don't know for sure yet. Okay, let's jump into chapter 16. Is where we want to go. Chapter 16, verse 1. Now, we must remember the promise has been made. The promise has been made about the seed. So Abraham, I'm just looking, put myself in Abraham, just trying to, you know, use just a little vision with Abraham. Hey, God has given me a word. I don't know how it's going to happen, but he says it's going to come from me. He says it's going to happen. So here we go. Now, Sarah, Abram's wife bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian. Y'all remember, when you go back and look, Abram went to Egypt. They was in Egypt for a while. Okay, so Sarah has a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name is Hagar. Okay, verse 2, and Sarah said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be, in other words, perhaps, maybe, possibly, that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Now, Abram didn't ask any question. I want to hear from the brethren. Abram asked no question. Then also from the sisters right now. Sarah suggests that Abram goes into another woman to have children, to have a child. All right? So that's what we want to deal. Let's deal with that. Well, let's look at verse 3. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. All right. Here's a woman, her man, and her handmaid. Sarah, Abram didn't ask no question. He didn't turn it down or nothing. What makes Sarah, to any of the sisters, what could possibly be going through Sarah's mind to make her even suggest to Abram to connect with Hagar? Any sisters right now, any sister want to tell me what could Sarah possibly have been thinking? Any sisters? Brothers, get ready because I'm coming to you. Any sisters?
This is Keisha. So during that time that they lived in, bearing children, it was a necessity for most women. It was like a financial security thing. And because they were so dependent on the men, they couldn't own any properties. Having children raised their, if I could say, their social status. So Sarah was probably feeling a lot of emotional, social situations. She was frustrated. Things felt hopeless to her. So she decided, you know, to take things into her own hands. Maybe she was a little antsy. She just like, okay, well, if we're going to have a child, let me just go ahead and do it because God has taken too long. So she got outside of what God, how God planned it, because it looks like he's taken too long. So she was deciding to fix it herself. So she went to her maid servant.
Okay. Okay. Any other? All right. I like that. I like that, Sister Oliver. Any other sisters got something they want to bring on that before I go to the men?
Well, I would say with that
I'm going to try to tread lightly. But this reminds me of, first of all, as a lot of times, you know, as men, if God has called you or you know what the plan is or what God has told you, just like Adam, you know, it was his fault, the reason why they was in the situation why they were in, because God told him something, but he allowed his wife to, you know, tell him otherwise. And so things didn't happen until he ate of that fruit. And so here with Abraham, because when I was reading this, and y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, but even when Abraham was told that he was going to have a child, a son, he laughed. So now at this point, sometimes I feel us as women, you know, we can pressure our husbands sometimes, but I'm thankful to God that I don't have a jelly back husband. And it seems like Abraham was kind of trying to do what his wife, because he knew, he probably, you know, felt her and saw her, you know, weeping because of this one thing. So it's either that or Abraham was already checking her out and he didn't argue with it. Like, okay, baby, that's what you want. I'm going to make you happy. Okay, so I'm going to stop right here.
Okay, any other the sisters, anybody else?
Hey, amen. So I do have a comment also. And, you know, as Lady Zachary just said, I'm kind of wondering also, like, was it something else before Sarah even agreed to do so, to, you know, give her handmaid over? Because there was no rebuttal. I mean, not from what we're reading. Like, it doesn't say, oh, you know, baby, are you sure? Or, you know, anything of the sort. It was just kind of like, oh, okay, cool. But, you know, I don't know what kind of wife he had, because not my man. So, you know, I'm gonna stay right there until we keep going down the scriptures, though, and I'm gonna leave it right there.
I want to say something too. I'm just wondering, couldn't she have picked somebody ugly? Because he just automatically, like, you know, slept with her. But, I mean, I'm wondering, you know, she was Egyptian. My thought is, how did she look? Is this someone that maybe, you know, he was married, but he still could see. Is this somebody that he kind of like, wow, in the back of his mind? Which made him not, when she mentioned that he didn't even object, he didn't say anything.
You know, that's always a question. How did
she look? And could Sarah
have picked
somebody like real ugly so that, you know, he wouldn't want to sleep with her? Okay, was that sister?
Can I add?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Whoever
want to
add, go ahead.
I want to add, also, Sarah, she knew that an heir was very important to her husband. So she was, if I want to use the word, desperate. So at that point, she just chose what was the next best thing, to come up with a plan, not so great plan, I should add, for her husband to have an heir. So, you know, that, and also with that, she would gain her status as well of having a son. So I think she did it, you know, just to make sure her husband, not so much, it was both ways. It was for her because she wanted a child badly, and it was for her husband because him needing, you know, she wanted him to have an heir. That's all I'm going to ask.
Okay. All right. Because she did say, let's see, verse 2, I pray thee go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. So, yeah, great point, ladies. All of those are great. So it's possible, just from after hearing from my sisters, my lovely wife and my sisters, that, you know, Sarah has different things going on. And of course, the culture, especially back then, it's not as much now, but back then, not only having a child, but as Sister Oliver stated, a male child. Okay, a male child that, you know, you could have girls all day and still be considered, you know, cast away or not blessed or not favored of God. But if you had just one son, you didn't have to have a whole lot, but if you had just one son, then you know, you had some status in the key. So great points. I'm gonna bring something else out maybe later. I already know we're not gonna get through with this tonight. I already know. But I got to be fair and give my brothers some kind of maybe rebuttal. You know, we heard them saying, well, we heard the sisters saying, well, you know, was Hagar pretty? You know, well, should she have chose somebody ugly? You know, maybe she should have chose somebody that was, you know, out there with the pigs or, you know, the hats, you know, something. So what? Let's look at it, the brothers from Abraham, because they saying Abraham gave no rebuttal. I mean, he jumped right on it. You know, he was happy. He was excited about it, and he went to work as soon as Sarah said, hey, you know, here's Hagar. It seemed like Abraham went right on in. So, brothers, what are we saying about Abraham?
All right, Pastor, Mr. Tobin, I got something to say.
Go ahead, Tobin.
The way I look at it from Abram's perspective, it shows that, you know, for me, this is a person that has a connection with God. And the evidence is he's been talking with God this whole time. Look at how you went over the history, God making all these promises to him and telling him how his children, you know, he's not going to, well, his seeds are not going to be numbered, you know, not be able to be numbered like the stars. Also, he compared it to the dust of the earth. So meaning that, you know, you're going to have some seeds, you know, so. However, he didn't have his own at that point, right? And he thinking with his own, you know, natural mind, he thinking, well, you know, I got one in my house. He ain't of me. But God tell him, like, you know, no, you're going to have one. So at that moment, that's God letting him know you're going to have one, right? Now here comes Sarai. Because God already told him that he's going to end up having one. Here comes Sarai saying, you know, go in unto Hagar, my handmaid. So at that point, he's just being a good servant of the Lord, and he listened immediately. You know, ain't no need in fussing and fighting. You know what I'm saying? God said it got to happen. We know the action on how it got to happen. So here we go. Sarah bringing up some action. Obviously, it ain't coming her way, you know, so he had to make it happen. So, you know, so at that point, I feel like being as though Sarah offered, you know, Hagar, you know, that's giving him a free pass. He got a free hall pass. So what man ain't going to take the free hall pass? So he had to have his case and needed to. So that's, he was just being a good servant of the Lord, and he had to make sure that it get done. So that's all I got to say. He was just doing as he was told.
So Minister Silver, what you're telling the congregation tonight is the thousands and hundreds that are listening all over the world. What you're saying is best to obey God and you know, if your wife make a suggestion that, as far as you know, lines up with what God is saying, and you feel it's best to go ahead on and obey. Is that right, Minister Tober?
Hey, that's what I'm saying. And I'm going to tell you why. At that point, we're looking at the scriptures, right? If I'm not mistaken, from what I look, God didn't necessarily bring up and say it was Sarah at that time. He said it later. But up until verse 16, he didn't say Sarah. So he's like, okay, it's time. It's my time. Now, well,
okay.
I'm still being obedient, right?
Okay.
Wow.
I hear you. Okay, thank you, Minister Tober. I tell you what, I appreciate that. I hear Deacon Stanton laughing. And I know Elder Oliver is on. Do you, brethren, do you guys have anything, or you know, as far as Abraham? I'm gonna say this because I know I got Deacon on. I'm gonna need the deacons to be my bodyguard when I walk in church on Sunday. Got to say with the foolishness, because Abraham heard everything that the Lord said up to this point, and it wasn't stuttered. He told a specific plan. Now, what is going on here that's not really being said is, I believe he doubted God, and he had and I believe your wife's first lady spoke on it, had an Adam spirit, because there was no wibble wobble. He went right with what Sarah said, and it refutes everything that God said, because he listened to the woman. And when you listen to the woman, we're going to get into it a little later how it's all jacked up, but he listened to the woman. He listened to the woman. And I you know what? I want to be on Abraham's side, but he was weak. God told him several times, you're going to have a seed. And it was coming, it's like common sense, you know, peanut butter, and it's going to come from your wife. But she doubted too. She doubted, and she couldn't believe that she could have one. So not only is there doubt all over this, you know, but that's exactly what happened, doubt. And then it's funny to me to hear the lady say, well, he didn't put up a fight. Really? Really? He didn't put up a fight. If you offer, here's a woman, that his wife will go sleep with her. We already know the promises of the woman. It was like, okay, where was the trust in the Lord? Where was the trust in God? See, we don't want to go with, because she didn't trust that God was going to bless them. He already knew, God already told Abraham, I'm going to give you all of this. And we forget, Sarah, well, go sleep with this woman, because she was impatient. And an impatient woman telling her husband, all right, I'm going to go ahead and make a way, just like Eve did back in the garden. This is what I'm going to do. And he acted upon it. And on his actions, not listening to the Lord, he doubted. And because of his doubt, things just got messed up from there. That's all I'm going to say about that, because I can't wait to get to the rest of it, because the rest of it is going to really come clear. Because I see where everybody's hand playing right now. But I got an uppercut, because all this ain't right. This is not right. It's not right. Lord promised him a seed. It promised him a seed, but I ain't gonna rush it. I know if we're gonna do the offering, Pastor, I'm gonna turn it back. I'm done. I didn't listen to it.
Thank you, Elder.
But I'm shocked with the women. I am shocked with the women. They're okay with that. They're okay with it. But I'm shocked. But let one of us make that suggestion. We wouldn't. I'm done. Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead. Finish.
All right. Listen, we ain't even got into this yet. We're going to have to do – this is going to be a series. Deacon Stanton, I know you're on. Did you want to say something before we do offering? Did you anything about Abraham up to this point?
No, I don't have anything to say. I'm just been a spectator.
Okay. All right.
I just logged on, so yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Okay, all right, no problem. All right, here as we take a little intermission, we want to raise our Tuesday night offering for, as we've been doing for our church, our local church, and for Extended Arms, which is our outreach ministry. Just whatever I've just been doing, you know. $5 here and $5 to the other, just whatever the Lord lays on your heart, $2, $10, $15, whatever it is, we just ask that you do that on tonight. If you want to do it to both Extended Arms and to Praise Tabernacle Church, you can do so. Or if the Lord lays it on your heart to do it to just one, we appreciate that. And if you don't lay it on your heart to do anything, just thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Our Extended Arms cash app is EA Ministry. Once again, it's $EA Ministry. Once again, for Extended Arms, the cash app, for those that would like to give a donation on tonight to help us continue to feed our community and the different things, the different outreaches that we are doing. here in the Lawrenceville community. The Cash App for Extended Arms is $EA Ministry. And may the Lord bless you real good for that. And those that would like to give a donation, a love offering tonight to our church here at Praise Tabernacle is $PTC877. Once again, the Cash App for our church is $PTC. That stands for Praise Tabernacle Church. So $PTC and the numbers 877. And may the Lord bless you real good. Thank you so much for supporting our great ministry, even financially. So our motto is small church, but huge ministry. The ministry ain't got nothing to do with how many people you got. It's the work, it's the effect that you have in your local community and how it spreads abroad. And weekly, we are impacting hundreds. Hundreds of families, hundreds of people weekly, on a weekly basis. We are impacting hundreds, if not thousands. So we thank you so much for being a part. Listen, I know you're excited. I already know we're not going to get nowhere near as far as I wanted to tonight. But we got to jump in. I think we got about 25 more minutes. So let's kind of see how far we can go. These women have thrown first round. The women have thrown some punches, and the men came back swinging. So let's see. All right, we got to the point where Sarah, I think it's chapter 16, verse 3. Let's read that again. Then we're going to go into verse 4, because verse 4 is really going to highlight the decision made by Sarah. Verse 4 is going to highlight the decision made by Sarah. So we want to see what the women got to say about that. So let's look verse chapter 16, verse 3. I'm going to read that. We've already read it. I'm going to read that, then go into verse 4, and then we're going to talk. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. So not only did she just give, but we see that verse 3 at the end, to be his wife. In other words, to go ahead on and have, as Professor Kloppner would say, relations and things like that. So look at verse 4. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived, meaning she got pregnant. And when she saw that she had conceived, okay, this is Hagar, when she saw that she was pregnant, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Okay, let's read that again. And he went in unto Hagar. He was obedient to his wife, okay, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Let's look at 5. And Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid to thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. And the Lord judged between me and thee. All right, women, what are we saying now? Sisters, Sarah gives Hagar to her husband. Abram goes in, has praise and pancakes, and Hagar gets pregnant. When Hagar notices that she's pregnant, she begins to mock or make fun, if you will, of Sarah. Sarah says, okay, oh, now you want to play. Now you want to pick on me. Okay, now you want to do this, that, and the other. What are we saying, sisters? What are we seeing between Hagar? What are we seeing with Hagar and Sarah right now? Any of my sisters?
Ooh-wee. Well, I would say be careful what you do out of desperation.
Wow.
Because your decisions will come back and bite you in your behind. So what Minister Tolbert said, I have never really noticed that the decision that Abraham made or whatever, how Minister Tolbert put it, is that that was after the fact. And then it made sense what Elder Oliver said as well. He was like, look, peanut butter and jelly go together. Don't nobody have to tell you. You knew exactly what you were supposed to do. But what I got out of that, I got a lot out of it, but you have to be careful of what you do when you're desperate, because the decisions you make is going to carry, it's going to be right there with you for the rest of your life. And it all goes back to Abraham. Me, you know, this is just my pick. I blame Abraham because you are the man. So you wasn't, you know, we understand, yes, it was custom for, you know, for that son. Yes, we understand that. But Abraham, you were supposed to protect, you were supposed to protect her. Now all of this extra stuff, because of your doubt, y'all doubted what God said, and that's what we find ourselves doing. We try to fix things that God has already showed us the way. So we try to fix it, and when we're trying to fix it, we messing it up.
Wow. Okay. All right. Any other of my sisters? That was my wife right there. Any other of my sisters?
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like because of the previous conversations that Abram had already had with God, maybe, you know, call it ignorant or not, maybe when Sarah presented Hagar to him, he felt like, oh, is this what God was talking about? Ignorant or not, we don't know. Maybe he felt like, well, this is what God was talking about. Now this is the start of the promises that he had already given me for my future. So maybe he felt like Hagar was presented to him in that fashion, you know, to fulfill what God had already told him that he was going to get. Now, me personally, because I know Elder Oliver said something earlier, like, I can't believe my sister's right now. I can't believe. No. I said not my man. Absolutely not my man. I'm not giving my man to nobody, not my man. And I do like what Elder Oliver said, because he definitely made us think and gave us a different perspective of how it happened, because you can even relate it to right now. Sometimes we so desperately want something to where, like the lady said, we get in and we make a mess of it because the plan was already there. But patience will have you going in and trying to fix it and trying to, okay, well, let me see how I can make it work, and then you end up messing it up. So now this lady is pregnant, and, you know, she's a little upset. She's very upset that she's pregnant or whatever, so now she probably feel like, well, she's making a mockery of me, so now you jealous, you're a little envious, but did you not give her to your husband? Did you not tell your husband, hey, go ahead and, you know,
that's
marry
right.
her, lay with her? You gave permission. So now that it came to pass, you're upset. So I don't know. For all we know, how did she not know if Hagar was or was not barren also? Because from what I understand, and please correct me if I'm wrong, it doesn't say that she was. So when you done gave this woman, who could possibly be your best friend, since you probably spend most of your time with her since she's your handmaid, how you know that she was even able to have babies herself while you done gave this woman to your husband? So, silly Sarah, jokes on you.
So are y'all two saying you better be careful who you keep close as a friend, even to your husband? Is that what I'm hearing from some of the ladies?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, definitely. As they say, that's weird.
Okay, Sister Oglesby, you still on? You got anything? Or Sister Oliver, before I go to these men?
Yes. Looking at it, we don't know what Hagar, what ulterior motive she had.
Wow.
Perhaps, you know, she had been, you know, kind of being that friend to Sarah and being close to her and her handmaid and all of this. And maybe all she wanted was, and she knew how important Abram was, and she knew the calling on him, she just wanted that seed. So how else do you get to that seed other than be close and be buddy-buddy with his wife? And, you know, when this was brought up to her, oh, definitely, I'll do just that. And now that you're pregnant, it's like, okay, she did it. She did what Sarah asked. And now she's looking at Sarah like, I did something you can't.
Well,
we
it.
Don't know
yes.
whether or not she had an ulterior motive from the get-go.
Wow. Great point. Great point.
I want to add to that. I got a number of things I want to add, but I'm going to keep it short. But when I kind of missed some of it because I had a call, but when Abraham, if I can, if you look at chapter 12 and how he lied to Abimelech and how he lied to Pharaoh about who Sarah was, and
right.
he was letting her go with them, like, that's my sister. To me, I said, oh,
right.
he pimped his wife out because he got a lot of stuff. He got sheep and all kind of things from him giving his wife to those two gentlemen. So I'm looking at it like this. Sarah's like, okay, well, you pimped me out to those two men. So let me just have you go ahead and get with my servant. And I looked at it because Hagar, she was a slave. And I'm thinking about it like a slave, she probably didn't have the authority to go against Sarah. I mean,
right.
that was, she didn't have that authority, so she had to follow suit. She may not have wanted to sleep with Abraham, but, hey, she's a servant, so she got to do what she got to do. And then Sarah wants to get all jealous and start being mean to Hagar and, you know, that's what happens when we don't trust God to answer our prayers and we do stuff on our own. These are the consequences.
Amen.
It's not going to turn out the way you think it's going to turn out and it's going to be all happy-go-lucky. These are the choices that we have to make, the right choices. And if you don't wait on God and you get in the way, you mess things up because he knows what the final outcome should be. And they just all got in the way of what God was doing.
Wow. So Hagar, so what y'all saying is pretty much Hagar went from the underdog to she became that main chick, and she began to flaunt. Nah, 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 boo, boo, I can do something you can't do. And that thing got to Sarah. So, these two scripts don't really have much to do, but men, from y'all's standpoint, just look, Abraham on the outside looking in at the two women fight. You know, we're going to see in the next scripture, if we get to it, that Abraham has something to say. But anything from the men's standpoint right now?
I got something.
Go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say that personally, I don't think that Hagar was plotting and waiting for her chance, so to speak. I don't think that she was in a position for all of that. She just happened to be there. She just happened to be a part of it and get put in the mess. So, and if we look at, you know, verse 3, we got where Sarai, you know, of course, gave Hagar to Abram to be his wife. So, to me, you know, that shows that it was just more than a one-night stand, at, you know, so to speak, at that point. So I feel like it was a little more to it than that. And then now, of course, you know, going down to, like, verse 5, after the baby then came and stuff like that, now Sarah gets mad at, you know, Abram, like, it was your fault, you know, and putting the blame on Abram. You're going to call him out. Like, that's what she's talking about. You know, and stuff like that. Like, it's her fault. Like, it's his fault, but it ain't even his fault, you know, at that part. And he just playing the cards that was dealt to him, you know. So at the end of the day, he was in position, and he was told what to do. He did what he was told to do, you know. So
okay.
I look at it like this. You know, all of this took place, and Abram is, you know, facing a lot of the blame. Yeah, he could have, you know, said no or whatever, but you threw it out there. You told me to do it, you know, so I think that that's what he did.
Okay. All right, Mr. Tober. Man, I know all of them going to get some calls tonight, man. I'm glad they ain't got to answer none of those. Anything or Deacon Stanley, anything up to this part from Abram?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had muted my button. I'm sorry. I have to keep it on mute because I can't believe some of this. But I really, to be honest with you, and this just came because I would be with Minister Tober saying, but I'm going to keep it because later on we're going to find out. The promises that God made Abraham, it's like we're forgetting what is being done and what has happened. Because now this man has slept with this woman, and he had a baby, that God didn't tell him to sleep with that woman. And the promises of God, and now the woman, we're talking about how the woman felt. And see, I put it all on Abraham, because he should have known better to fall for the trap.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every married man knows the trap. And we know sometimes even our wives can tell us to do that. We know. Because common sense, we ain't going to do that. I'm going to just stay home tonight. We know. Even though they say it's okay. No. And see, that's the problem with a lot of men. They're weak. And just because their wife say it and the woman look good, I'm going to just don't even fight it because it's okay. And this is why, and I don't want to get too, I know we're going to have to pick it up because I got some stuff. I can't wait to bring it out. But there's some stuff in here that with this first baby that because of his mistake, Abraham messed up. It's on him.
Yeah.
And all through the Bible, if you look at men are weak. And women run over us because we don't take a stand. He did not take a stand, and God gave him the plan. And I don't want to keep forgetting that God spoke to him and told him what a blessing it was going to be, but he let his wife talk him into, she didn't even have to talk him into it, she just told him to do it, and he did it.
Wow.
And now we're going to have some issues later on because I know we got to get ready to go because Sarah did have a baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm done. But you see where I'm going with this. But
I know exactly where you're going.
Abraham is on him. He didn't fight it. He didn't refute it. He was trying to be, if you want to call a good husband, but sometimes being a good husband ain't being a right husband or a truthful husband when God already gave him the instructions. And he wanted to let Sarah in on that. And because of that, that's what we got. Now he got women drama. This woman mad at that one. And they supposed to be four. And now he's stuck in the middle of it. He can't go to the left or to the right because he did wrong. I'm done, Pastor.
Man, they texted me. I'm getting texts from some of the saints.
That's
talking
right.
About this is good. They said,
I agree with all of them. It's all the man's fault.
No. I disagree.
Hold on. Is Deacon Stanton on?
Yeah, he's still on.
Okay, Deacon Stanton, I got to be fair. Do you have something you want to say?
I really don't. I'm just enjoying it right now. You know, I'm just here.
All right. Listen, this is what we're gonna do.
Right,
all right, you in the neutral zone. Okay, listen, we gonna read verse 7. Okay, we gonna read verse. Let me see what time. All right, it's 7:54. We gonna read verse 7. We'll do a round robin. Okay, with everyone that wanna say, and then we'll close. And we gonna pick up next. I know it's a month away, but that give us more time to get some more stuff, some more ammunition. Okay, pray about some other things, and we're going to pick it up. But the saints are texting me saying, this is good tonight. So They are enjoying it. So let me read verse 7, and then we'll be ready to close it out. Okay. So verse 7, and the angel of the Lord. Wait a minute. No, it might be verse 6. Hold on. I gotta get some more light in here. Yeah, verse six. But Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. So Abraham says to Sarah, hey, that's your handmaid. That's your girl. Do with her whatever seem pleasing to you. Do whatever you need to do. Now, she's pregnant. Okay, she's conceived. She's pregnant. Okay, so Abraham tells Sarah, well, do what you need to do. You know, whatever you say, she messing with you, she picking on you, or whatever she putting in your face, deal with her however you need. And she fled from her face. In other words, Hagar ran. She left the house. She left the tent to get away from Sarah because of what Sarah was either doing or getting ready to do to her. Hagar left home. All right, we're going to stop there, but let's go around for 1 minute, each person. Give me no more than 1 minute, and we're going to close. So whoever want to go first, give me one of the ladies. Let's go ladies, then the men, then we'll close out. One of the ladies, give me 1 minute. What are we seeing right here?
Okay, well, I'll go. Once again, Abraham giving in to his wife. She makes a suggestion. He gives in to her, like Elder Oliver was saying. Abraham, oh, well, do what you want to, baby. Okay, that's what got y'all in this situation, because you giving in to your wife. And now Sarah, she's foolish, agreeing, and I agree with Minister Tolbert as well. You're crazy because now you have went out of the will of God as well, because now you're ready to send her away. But this was all your fault too, because you gave the suggestion. So both of them, that's it.
Okay, thank you, Lady Zachary. Any of my other sisters, come on, give me 1 minute.
Personally, I think all three of them goofy. They all good, because Sarah shouldn't have presented this idiotic plan, okay? And then there's Abram, like I feel, with no rebuttal. Okay, cool. If this is what my wife wants me to do, I'm going to do it. And as we've already stated, he already had God in his ears telling him. So maybe he felt like, for whatever reason, oh, this is what God meant. Maybe he felt like Hagar was thrown in there because it was a part of the plan. Maybe. Now, then you have Hagar, who's basically a slave, and she felt like, oh, okay, cool, in a sense. So she went ahead with the plan also. But now she's feeling like, as, you know, most women do when it comes down to them being a side chick, like, oh, I got the prize. He going to leave me for his wife. I got the baby. But you end up getting done so bad that you have to flee. You have to go away because you couldn't handle the treatment. So, in a sense, it was kind of like Abram got what he wanted, and then he was like, oh, okay, I'm good now because my seed is going to be here, so do what you want to do with her. I have no use for her. So she became disposable. They threw her away after that. So that's why I say everybody was wrong. All three of them were wrong.
Wow.
That's good.
Okay. All right. Sister Oliver or Sister Oglesby, either one.
I agree that all three of them were wrong. And it's a clear example of when you do put things in your own hand and don't trust the Lord and let the Spirit lead you. And you got everybody in your ear, you make mistakes and you do things that's out of order. So I say all three of them was in error.
Wow. All right. That was Sister Oglesby, I think. Is that Sister Oglesby?
No.
That was Sister Oliver? Okay. All right. Come on, Sister Oglesby. Give me 1 minute.
Abram is sitting back now like a mob boss. Like he don't see what's wrong, and he still he. I mean, he told her, "Okay, fine, do whatever," but he has yet at this point he hasn't said, "You know, I was wrong. I was really wrong." So he's just kind of sitting back like, "Your mess, you fix."
Wow. Wow. Okay. All right. All right. That's all my that's my lovely wife and my sisters. Okay. Minister Tolbert, what you got? Give me 1 minute.
Oh. I was hoping that Elder Oliver would go first because lately he's been having a difference of opinion. I'd be wanting to have my little bit of rebuttal. So, if you don't mind, I would like to pass the torch to you real quick and come behind
and
you.
And Minister, I'm not going to take the full minute. And what we have here is a mess. And as a man looking at this mess and chaos, I still put it on Abraham. He did this. He created this. So now that you have a pregnant woman, and every man in here knows when women get pregnant, they don't act right. And we also know when women hit a certain age, so you have emotions going on. I'm not going to put that emotions of natural, because that's natural for women to have those type of emotions. But the man is sitting there allowing this to happen. And that's all I'm going to say. It's on him, period. I'm not going to put it on his foolish wife for making the foolish suggestion, because at the age she was, she could not have. We already know that story. And then to go pick a slave who, this is a up, this is what, regardless how she looked at it, it's a come up, because she's going to have a son, period. It's a, but now during the middle of all of this, she gets jealous like most women would be, because you didn't been with my husband. And now you get ready to have something that I couldn't have because I was impatient. And don't blame Hagar. All she was doing was following orders. She ain't had nothing to do with this. And because whatever she was struggling, those was her emotions because she was pregnant. And she was having a baby. And we all have them. And women want us to feel, you know, when they get ready, them 9 months or whatever, we have to be what? Sympathetic to the woman because she's pregnant. And now she couldn't handle that. So, no, I'm not putting the blame on many of them too, because that was a natural reaction that was going to happen. But yeah, we have the man, and we want to make excuse for him. I'm not letting him off the hook. It's all on him, period. Because he could have stopped this from the very jump street if he just would have listened to the Lord. It goes all the way back to Adam. If Adam would have listened and not looked at how beautiful the I'm done, Pat. Go ahead.
Listen, I got to say, Oliver, you know, I think he's flip-flopping a little bit, but it's okay. You know what I'm saying? It's okay. He know that it really should be all on Sarai, but it's all good. It's okay. I get the point. You made some valid points. I'm just here to say that at the end of the day, this man is a servant of the Lord, and all he was doing was trying to please the Lord. in all seriousness, that did have a lot of flesh in it. I agree more with Oliver a little bit more. But also what we don't want to do is we don't want to, you know, think about, you know, too much of what we know now and put it back then. You know, things were a little bit different back then. Because if we think about it, you know, we could have said that, you know, Abraham was wrong way before then. We equate now to then by him messing around with Sarah, you know, that's family. You know, that's like his, you know, sister or whatever. So I just think that he was just in a position, his wife, you know, threw him the alley-oop and he dunked it, you know. So that's all I got to say. I think that he did what a man would do.
All right, so he played basketball. It was his favorite sport. He likes the way they dribble up and down the court. All right. All right. Now, Diggy Stanton, you've been listening in all night. Diggy Stanton, did you got, you got anything? I know you said you in the crowd in the standby. Do you have anything that you want to say before I close?
I really don't. I'm a spectator. I'm enjoying just listening.
Okay. All right. We gonna hold you that. We don't want you to get in no trouble. All right. Now, listen. This is exactly what I had in mind when it comes down to the family night and dealing with relationships and with the ultimate family, because later on we're going to see how it even affects the children, okay? The things that the parents do, the decisions that we make as parents, a lot of times we think is, oh, well, I decided and it's me. No. When you have children involved, the decisions you make affects your children. Now, somebody out there tonight, maybe a part of the panel or that's listening, you can attest to something like this that may have happened in your family. Okay? This is real life. I know we laughed a lot tonight, but this is real life. And, yeah, as Minister Tober said, the culture then was a little different now. As I stated, Sarah, based on what Abraham noted later on in Genesis, they were brothers and sisters. They were half brothers and sisters. They had the same father, but different mothers. So the culture's a little different, but somebody listening tonight, you can say, even in your family, my daddy had a side chick. My daddy, you know, we got siblings that, you know, hey, my daddy ran off or whatever. Or, well, my mother was, you know, a whore. You know, my mom whored around or whatever. So, you know, God, we're going to see as we get more farther along that in spite of, watch this, in spite of the decisions that we all have made, okay, may not be the same, may not be the exact decisions, but we all have made some decisions that we wish we could go back and change, and we can't. But here's the good news. God gives us grace. God gives us grace where he says, I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to allow you to die in that because of that decision, but I'm going to help bring you through it so you can be a testimony to someone else. You're going to live through this. And I just want to encourage somebody that your family may have been jacked up, may have been screwed up, but even in that, God has a purpose. And we're going to see that God had a purpose. He had a perfect will, and he had a permissive will. The permissive will, okay, the permissive will was Abraham and Hagar. God permitted that. Okay, that wasn't the perfect will. The perfect will was Abraham and Sarah, okay? That was the perfect will. He had a permissive will, and he had a perfect will. And in our lives now, he have permitted some things. He's permitted or allowed us to do some things, but when we find out, well, that didn't work out right. Well, that was because it wasn't his perfect will. It was his permissive will, okay? In that, we're going to see that God can still bless in spite of our mess, okay? Because this is messy. It's messy. But we're going to see how God can get glory in our story. He can be glorified in spite of the mess that we've made. God always get the last say. And I want to encourage somebody, and I'm going to close. God will always get the last say in your life. You may have been that permissive child. You may not have been the promise between your father and his wife and the marriage. You may have been that side chick's child, but that don't mean God loves you any less. God still has a plan for you. Okay, so don't you give up. You may not get any of the inheritance. They may not name you in the will. They may not even put your name in the obituary. But God ain't forgot about you. God knows exactly what he's doing in you, and he's going to fulfill it. Can't nobody pray it away. Can't nobody, ain't no voodoo that can, that ain't no soothsayer that can make God change his mind concerning you. Okay? So you being encouraged tonight. Listen, my brothers and sisters, this has been Praise Tabernacle Church Tuesday night Bible study. And I tell you what, man, we are enjoying it. We're having ourselves a good time. And as you can see, we ain't holding no punches. We throwing them. We throwing left, right, uppercuts. We throwing them. Okay? And we going to be married afterwards. I'm on my way home to hug my wife. And she said some things tonight that I got. No, we got to get in here and I got to hug and kiss her and talk to her. And I already know what the other brothers and sisters on tonight, the same thing. These are real life issues. These are real life issues. So, brethren, I don't want not nam one of y'all. That's what old folks say, not nam one of y'all to try to do what Abraham did. I don't care what your wife say. Don't you do it. Don't you dare do it. God bless you tonight. Till we meet again, Lord willing, Sunday morning, we'll be live at Praise Tabernacle Church at 9 o'clock. Our speaker for this Sunday, it'll be first Sunday, our speaker is going to be none other than Mr. Chaos himself. It might be him and his wife. They may do a tag team this Sunday. D&K, they may come on this Sunday. But meet us 9 o'clock Sunday morning at our local assembly, Praise Tabernacle Church. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm going to say a final prayer. And listen, we bless you in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We give you glory and honor. Thank you for tonight, for this family night, this husband and wife night, this children's night where we can discuss the family. So we know in order to have a strong church, you got to have strong families. Because the church is made up of the families. If you got strong families, then you will automatically have strong churches. And we thank you for these brethren that was on tonight and these sisters and their real life issues and even digging into the culture of what it was back then, not just staying on the surface, but dealing with the culture then and bringing it up to now and explaining it in its simplicity. We give you glory and honor. We pray that you will continue to strengthen every husband, every wife. We pray for every family unit that you will make every household stronger. Bless the children. God, we just thank you. And even now we're praying. We got this storm, this hurricane that's coming through Florida, up through Georgia in the next few days. God, we're praying that you will help us to be smart, especially those that are in the Florida area that's in direct contact. Give them the mind to listen to the government, to do what they need to do for the safety of their families. And God, we just pray that you will protect these people as we leave this place, but never your presence. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20 tells us to go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hey, you have a good night. God bless you.